Today's gospel can be a bit confusing. The dishonest steward is caught and told that he will be relieved of his duties, and so he tries to gain favor with his master's debtors, and he doubles down on his corruption. He forgives a portion of their debts. So not only is he a poor steward, but now he's forgiven debts that are not his to forgive. It may surprise us then that the master commends him. The master is basically saying, you're a rogue, but you're a crafty one. You're a crafty rogue. So he's not praising his virtue, neither is he giving him great praise, but rather he's recognizing that he's taken this opportunity to try to provide for himself, making friends from among his master's debtors. So what do we learn from this parable? One thing I can see that we certainly can take away is that intentional evil actions will always lead us to a place where we're in trouble. Sometimes we think we can get away with things. Secondly, when we have made a choice to live by cheating, lying, or other sinful deeds, in a sense, it's always easier to continue down that path. It can seem like let's just continue going this way. And it becomes very difficult to repent and turn back towards the path of virtue. So the dishonest steward considers a few options before deciding to commit further wrongs. He rejects both. The honest path of becoming a laborer, which is not an easy lifestyle, but an honest and commendable one. Further, he rejects the option of seeking mercy or dependence on the kindness of others, perhaps because he knows that many of the people that he would be asking for help know his character already and would not trust him, that he has good intentions. So therefore, he commits himself to the path by which he attempts to buy the friendship of those who might become his patrons once his position and his work is taken away. But one wonders, what sort of friends can you buy with dishonest wealth? This parable makes it clear that when we intentionally go down the wrong path, confusion is the byproduct. And our reason and our recognition of right and wrong are clouded, and our sinful choices become easier. It can look easy to get ahead sometimes, or to take that path which avoids hard work and the normal daily struggles that we all face. Most often, though, this path of vice leads to some point where we have to have a reckoning, where we have to face the consequences of our choices and of our actions. And at that point, there aren't usually a lot of choices to make, and the ones that we have usually aren't the ones that we would prefer in that moment. So we have all heard of people maybe getting ahead in life by cheating or by stealing or deceiving others. They get to positions of authority or power or a life of ease, perhaps. And perhaps there are some people who escape the consequences in this life. Perhaps there are. Yet, nobody escapes God's justice. Nobody does. If we have sinned in this life, it's far better for us to be caught. Far better for us to be caught than to have to face those consequences and have an opportunity to repent than to have our sins go unnoticed or that we continue down that path of sinning. We are stewards. We are serving a rich master, one who provides for us, has given us all that we have. Our gifts, our abilities, our given circumstances are all given to us. And they're not given so that we can just enrich ourselves. Rather, we are given these things so that we can show our stewardship, so we can show to the Lord, here's what I give back to you. Here's what I have done with the work that you have given to me to do. So often in the Gospels, we hear that the master sharing talents or giving money to servants, and then to see how do they do. And they're treated accordingly. The path of virtue is always open to us. It's always an option. But it becomes ever more difficult if we choose to stray from it or go far from it. It becomes more and more challenging to choose that path. The Lord may give us some challenging circumstances, and He will, in our lives. However, it's always the case that our Lord wishes us to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, as St. Paul tells us in our second reading. Therefore, no matter what sort of life we've lived, what sort of wrongs we may have committed, the Lord is always there to help us repent. He's always there to receive us back, to forgive us our sins. There's no darkness that His light cannot pierce. However, we should not fool ourselves to think that it's an easy matter of just at the end of our lives repenting and seeking forgiveness. Not that the Lord would not give it to us, but that our hearts become hardened when we go down that path. And in many ways, we can create this rut by which we sort of live our lives stuck in this place, and it's hard for us to avoid that rut. Therefore, to choose evil it's going to have its own rewards, its own fruits. To choose the path of light is much better, of course. So I encourage us, you know, to choose that path. Choose the difficult and steady road of being a good steward. Don't look to get ahead by skimping or to cut corners and that sort of thing. If we have made some wrong steps, don't fear to repent. Just quickly turn back to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness, and it will be given to us, it will be granted to us. The sooner we do, the easier will our return be. Likewise, I think as a body, the church, we ought to help and assist those who are trying to return to that path of virtue. It's not always easy. Those who have made a wrong turn, but who have since repented, it's not easy to trust someone who we know has done wrong. But when we ourselves are in that position, don't we want to be received back? Do not we want to be welcomed back? And are we unwilling to forgive or to help those in need? How often do those who have sinned turn deeper into their sins because they believe they will not be accepted back by honest people? They fear they will not be given that opportunity to show themselves worthy of their trust. And therefore they return to the friends that led them down the path of sin and corruption. If they try to turn over a new leaf, in a sense they risk entering into no man's land. Because on the one hand, they've already rejected, if they reject their friends who were their friends who brought them into corruption and sin and so forth, if they turn their back on that group, there's no guarantee on their part that they're going to be received back by the people who they try to join in this path towards virtue. So it can be a lonely place, it can be a difficult place for someone to try to make that change. And I wonder if that's why the dishonest steward did what he did. He decided to go deeper into corruption. Now, on the other hand, if we have lived a life of vice, we should not expect that everything will be given back to us right away. Trust is not something that is easily gained once lost. Nor should we expect to be given power, authority, and rank simply because we're trying to be honest and do the right thing. Mercy is real, it is truly real, but humility is often required to receive it. In the church, we must continually remember that, but by the grace of God, there go I. There's that old saying, I can just as easily fall into sin as my brother or sister next to me. And have we not required mercy? Have we not required assistance from God? Has He not aided us in our time of need? So how can we withhold it from our brothers and sisters in their time of need? We're all stewards, as the gospel says, and if we're dishonest in small matters, how can we be shown to be honest in great ones? Our character and our virtue are tested in this life. The temptation to seek wealth or worldly gain at the cost of our souls is a real temptation, a real threat. We cannot serve two masters, as we heard. The Lord encourages us to use our industry and our ingenuity to do good, to serve Him well, to ultimately to seek eternal life. We have been given this opportunity to show our character. What sort of steward are we going to be? O Lord, help us to see all we have as Your gift. May we see clearly how to put these gifts to use for Your glory. May all who are spiritually dead or who are stuck in the muck of their poor choices be given the grace to turn to You for mercy. And may the church come to their aid and assist them to turn back to the path of life. O Lord, may our hearts be open to You humbly and place our trust in You both now and in eternity. Amen.